Kuntus Achrin, in the third Kuntus, which begins Lahavin Mashikosov Bishara Yehudim, the Alter Rebbe basically asks, why do we see a difference in the Aveda of Torah from the Aveda of Tefillah when they are both Shaloi Lishma, without Kavana? When they are both performed with Kavana, then they're equal. Because both Torah and Davening, learning of Torah and Davening, when they are done with Kavana, they rise to the world of Bria. If it's done with love and fear that come from Seichel, if it's done from love and fear that come by nature, from the nature of the Jew, then it rises to the world of Yetzirah. But when it's without Kavana, then if he studies Torah without Kavana, it rises to the level of the Malachim of Yetzirah. Not to the Sviris of Yetzirah, but to the Malachim of Yetzirah. Whereas davening without Kavana is rejected completely. And the answer that the Alter Rebbe gives in this Kuntus is that Torah Shaloi Lishma, when we say Torah without Kavana, what we mean is not studying Torah with an ulterior motive. When it says that Torah without Kavana rises at least to the level of the angels of Yetzirah, that's Torah B'loi Kavana, meaning Torah without love and fear, but also without an ulterior motive. So he learns and he understands what he's learning, and he's learning it because it's God's Torah, but he doesn't have love and fear. Concerning such a Torah without Kavana, we say that it rises to the level of Malachim of Yetzirah. But Torah Shaloi Lishma, in the literal sense, meaning with an ulterior motive, for example, he's studying Torah in order that he should become famous or important, then it doesn't rise at all. It doesn't rise, l'mayla min shimsha, it doesn't rise above the sun at all. It is tachas hashemesh. Because the pniya, the ulterior motive, comes from klipa, and the klipa does not permit the words of the Torah to rise. And therefore it remains below, stuck on earth, until the person does tshuva. When we say davening without kavana, and we say that davening without kavana doesn't rise at all. So here also there are two parts. There's the fact that he's davening without kavana. He's thinking other words, other thoughts, other than the words of the davening. He's not paying attention. He's not focused on the words of the davening. He has machshava zaras. But on the other hand, he is davening because it's a mitzvah to daven. So he's davening for the mitzvah. Only his mind wanders and he has machshava zaras. So here now, the machshava zara, like the ulterior motive in the learning, comes from klipa. And therefore, just as learning with an ulterior motive does not rise above the sun at all, it's tachas hashemesh, the same as also with the davening, that because there is machshava zara, and the machshava zara comes from klipa, and the klipa does not permit the words of the davening to rise at all. So in that, they're actually the same. When there is some element of klipa in the learning, it doesn't rise at all. When there's an element of klipa in davening, it doesn't rise at all. That which we say, that learning without kavana does rise to the level of the angels of Yetzirah, that's without kavana, but also without ulterior motive. So there's no klipa involved. However, there is also an advantage to the davening without kavana over the learning with an ulterior motive. In other words, when a person is davening and he has machshava zaras, that's klipa, and it prevents the davening from rising. When a person learns with an ulterior motive, the ulterior motive comes from klipa, and that prevents the learning from rising. But there's a difference. When the learning is with an ulterior motive, the ulterior motive is not only a presence of klipa in the learning, it is actually the motivation for the learning. It is this ulterior motive that moves the person to learn. So the whole motivation and the whole purpose and the whole goal of the learning is klipa. And therefore, without tshuva, this kind of learning will remain stuck in klipa. In the davening, however, the machshava zara that a person has in the middle of davening is not the foundation, it is not the motivation, it is not the purpose of the davening. The person goes to daven because he's supposed to daven. His motivation is the mitzvah. In the course of the davening, his mind wanders, and the machshava zara enters into the davening. So although the machshava zara being from klipa does prevent the davening from rising, but it's like an external obstacle that prevents it from rising, and as soon as we remove the obstacle, the davening essentially is a holy thing. The davening was motivated by the mitzvah, and therefore it easily is raised up after its fall as a result of the machshava zara. So that the next time a person davens b'kavana, even if the davening is put together of pieces of kavana in the course of the year, then all those prayers, all that davening that was rejected because of the machshava zara, are now raised up along with this one davening that was without machshava zara. And that's because even the davening with machshava zara is a davening, only it's coated with klipa. Whereas learning for an ulterior motive is klipa all the way. The whole motivation, the whole purpose, the whole drive is from klipa. Now we'll continue in Kuntis Achran on page 308. And the number at the bottom of the page is 600. It is halfway down the page at the end of the brackets of the parentheses. And this that he writes in the Zohar, in Parsha Pekudei, Geirakiya Tato, that it's in the lower heaven. Uveparsha Vayakil Mashma Dedavke, Ihi Milo Kedekoyois, Salken Imo Adavira Dedekia Deleelo. And in another place in the Zohar, in Parsha Vayakil, it seems to be saying that davening rises to the heavens only if it is a proper word, meaning to say with kavana. So in Parsha Pekudei it says that it rises to the lower heaven, even when it's without kavana. In Parsha Vayakel it seems to indicate that without kavana it would not rise to the heaven. He calls it the Rikia Dele'ela, the heaven above, but that seems to be the same as Rikia Tato, the lower heaven, because heaven is above. It's above the sun. Le'elam in Shimsha. It's above the sun, but it is the lower heaven, so it is called Rikia Tato. So there seems to be a contradiction, so the Alter Rebbe says, Le'ekar Shemid. It is not a question at all, the Rikia Tato, because the lower heaven, Me'inun Rikian, the Medabrige Almo, Shevapasha Pekude, this lower heaven, which is the source of life for the low, for the world, for the earth, for the physical world, which he's referring to in Parshat Pekud and the Zohar, Hein Malchus Da'asiyah. So when he says Rikia Tato, the lower heaven, he's talking about the level of Malchus Da'asiyah. With Parshat Vayakel, and in Parshat Vayakel where he says Rikia Deleilo, he's talking about Zod Da'asiyah, the emotions of Asiya, Kameshikos of Beitz Chaim, Shara Shemus Peri Gimel, Gabizod Asiya Ainsham. So the difference between the Rikia Tato and Rikia Dul Elo is that they are both heavens, only one, Rikia Tato, is Malchus of Asiya. And Rikia Dul Elo is Zod Asiya. So when a person davens without Kavona, it does rise to the level of Malchus Da'asiyah, from which place the world gets its nourishment, its sustenance, but it does not rise to the level of Zod Da'asiyah. And this is called rejected, even though it rises to the level of Malchus Da'asiyah, because davening, when it is appropriate, when it's effective, is supposed to bring about an additional bracha, an additional blessing to the world. So that, for example, a person prays and asks that there should be reifei chelim, that the sick should be cured, or mevarech hashanim, that the poverty should be alleviated through a blessed, a rich crop and so on. So we're asking God to give additional blessing to the world that is not there. In order to do that, the davening has to reach a place that is higher than the source of the world. Because we're seeing that by the source of the world, we're finding that some people are sick and some people are poor and hungry and so on. In order to correct what is lacking, you have to go to a place higher than the source of the world, to a place that doesn't naturally flow to the world, and from there bring the additional bracha. So when the davening doesn't do that, it rises only to Malchus Da'asiyah, which is the direct source for the world, then it doesn't bring about a change in what's going on in the world. In order to bring about a change, it would have to rise to Zoh of Asiyah. And when it doesn't, that's called rejected. Ho de mashma lucher be pasha pekud. De gam tvila psula elad hechal harish shemimena nitches lamata vuhu bezo de bria. And although the statement in the Zayar and Pasha Pekud that says that even davening that is not fit with machshav zoris rises to Hechal HaRishain and then is rejected, and Hechal HaRishain is Zav Bria, Leikosh and Midah, this too is not a kashish, Hare Afilu Kol Ha'aveines Mamish, Kalis V'chamureis, Eiles L'Sham. Because the fact is that every sin, literal sin, not just a machshav zoris, every sin, both the slight sins and the severe sins, all of them rise to Zoh de Bria. Afilu ad Hechal HaDalet. Kama Shekosov in Daf Reish Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Ela Vadai She'ein Muhus Ho'aliyah Shoveis Ve'ein Areich V'Dimyim Beineyem Ela B'Shituf Hashem Bulvad V'Dal. Even the Aveves, the slight and the severe, rise to the Hechal HaBeis, which is Zoh de Bria. But when we say rise, we mean different things. When a mitzvah rises, we mean that it is elevated to that level, and there it brings an increase in Kedusha. When we say that a sin rises, it means that it causes a pgam, that it leaves a blemish on that level. But that's not really the same rising. It's not that the Aveira, Chas V'Sholem, belongs on that level and finds there its fulfillment or an increase. On the contrary, it rises there means it leaves a bad effect even on that level. So that's what he says, that the word rise, Aliyes, are not all the same, and there's no comparison between them. The only thing that they have that is the same is the use of the word Aliyah. Obozei Yuvangam Kein. With this, we will understand it also. Mashikosav Shom Daf Reish Mem Zayin. What the Zehar writes on Daf Reish Mem Zayin. Sheb Heichal HaBeis. That in the second Heichal, which means in Zoh the Bria. So there's a difference of two versions. Either it should read Izdam in HaMemuna, that the Memuna is available, or Kayom in HaLevushin, that the garments exist there. But there's a Memuna al HaLevushim, there's an angel that is in charge of the garments. Shem Albishim HaNishamma Memaisa HaMitzveis, the garments that clothe the soul that the Neshama wears, that comes from the act of the mitzvah. So although the level in which the Maisa HaMitzvah, the physical act of the mitzvah, rises, is Gan Eden HaTachtein of Asiya, and here we're saying that the Neshama receives a garment from the act of the mitzvah, in Zoh of Bria, so here also the answer is the same as before. The Aliyah, when we use the word Aliyah, it means different things. So when we say that the act of the mitzvah rises to the level of Gan Eden HaTachtein, that's using the word in one sense of rising. When we say that the neshama rises to the higher level of Bria, of Zoh de Bria, and there it receives the garment from the mitzvah, that's a different sense, a different meaning to the word rising. But what we have, the result of this whole explanation, is Hine Tfila Psula, a davening with Machshava Zaja, is Adifa Meteira Shalei Lishma Mamish, is actually better than Teira that is studied with an ulterior motive. Shehi, because Teira studied with an ulterior motive, is Tachas HaShemesh, is below the sun, remains on earth. But the davening, even when it has machshav ezodes, rises to the lower heaven, which is above the sun. Aval teira stam, but teira that is studied without an ulterior motive. She'ein or shalei lishma, it is not actually shalei lishma. Rak me'ava misuteres tivis. He's studying it without a love that has been aroused through his knowledge and through his understanding of godliness. Rather, it is a love that comes from the hidden nature of every Jew. Then, then it is certainly not worse than the breath of the mouths of the children studying with their teacher, the Salik Le'ela, which does rise, because it is breath that has no sin to it, it is innocent breath, the salik le'ela, and therefore it rises. Af im hu shalei lishma mamosh, even if the children are studying for an ulterior motive, for an actual ulterior motive, for the reward, for the candy, or whatever. Or meyiras haritzua shebiyad ha-sefer, from the fear of the strap of the melamed, even so, because the breath is innocent, because it has no sin to it, therefore it rises. So the same would be true also of Teira that is studied innocently without ulterior motives, also without an intellectual love, a love born out of understanding for God, but from the natural love that every Jew has, then he is not worse than the child who studies for an ulterior motive. Where does the learning of the children whose innocence makes the learning rise to the higher worlds rise? So it rises by itself to the world of Bria, and then the angels carry it from the world of Bria even higher to the world of Atzilus. The Rebbe Rashab once explained, when they were studying Kuntres Achim, this Kuntres, he was studying it with the Friedrich Rebbe, with his son, and he explained to him that there are two ways of understanding this Hevel She'en Bechet, breath that is innocent. One is the simple meaning, that a child has not sinned, has no sins, and therefore his breath is pure and innocent. And that's why his davening or his learning rises to Bria and even higher to Atzilus. Another understanding of Hevel She'en Bechet is that because the children have complete and total emuna pshuta, that what they're learning comes from the Eibishter, comes from HaSinai, comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Kometz Aleph O is absolute emes coming from Moshe Misinai, this innocence in what they're learning, that's what makes the breath of their learning rise. Now, this is possible by an adult as well, by an adult who maybe is not innocent of sin all his life. But when he is studying, he studies with an emuna pshuta in the words and in the meaning of what he's learning and what he's davening, then that breath, maybe not his whole life, but that breath with which he is studying, with which he is davening, is a breath that has no sin. It is pure. And it too can rise. And this was based on a story that he had heard from the Baal Shem Tov when he was on the Baal Shem Tov's Oihel. It was on his birthday in Tov Ayin Dalad, when the Baal Shem Tov had become 16 years old, and he was spending some time in a small village. The people who took care of the inn were very simple people, a man and his wife, and with great difficulty they managed to daven, to say the words of the davening, but didn't know the meaning of the words at all. But they were very God-fearing, and at every occasion and for every event they would say, Baruch Hu Mevedach L'Olam Vod, Gebench Zoler Zayin Ebik on Ebik. And the wife, the innkeeper's wife, used to constantly say, Gebench Zol Zayin Zayin Helik Enomen. On that day, the Baal Shem Tov went out to the woods, as was his practice, to be alone and to spend his Yom Holedes in contemplation. The Baal Shem Tov was saying Tehillim and was busy with creating the Yichudim that come from the holy words and the holy names that are contained in the Tehillim. As he was absorbed in this, the Baal Shem Tov says, I didn't sense what was going on around me. And as suddenly, when I opened my eyes, I saw Eliyahu HaNavi smiling. And I was very surprised that I should see Eliyahu HaNavi while I was alone. I had seen Eliyahu many times when I was together with the Tzaddik at Meir and with other hidden Tzaddikim. But to see Eliyahu while I was alone was new. And also I didn't understand the smile. And then Eliyahu said to me, you are working so hard on the kavanas and the yichudim of the holy names that come out of the psukim of Tehillim. But Aaron Shleima, the innkeeper, and Zlata Rivke, the innkeeper's wife, don't know anything about yichudim, about holy names, that come from the words that they say, Baruch Hu Mevedach L'Olam Vod, he should be blessed forever and ever, or what she says, blessed should be his holy name. And the yichudim that exist, that come from those words, are causing a great stir in the higher worlds, greater even than the yichudim that are created by the tzaddikim in their kavana. Eliyahu HaNavi went on to explain, the Baal Shem Tov says, the great pleasure that God has from the praises and the blessings of the simple men and women and of children, when they praise God on a steady, continuous basis, which means that they are constantly bound up with God Himself. And based on this, even an adult who may not be free of all sin can also have this virtue of Hevel She'em Beichet. In the Hayem Yem for today, the Shchedesh Kislev, the day that is celebrated as the day in which the Rebbe Zal Gesundzein had recovered and had once again returned to good health in 1977, the Rebbe writes in the Hayem Yem that there were times when Rebbe Yekusiel Lepler, a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, would daven so long, his davening would take so long, that his shachris, mincha, and ma'ariv followed one right after the other, and there was no time in between for intervals.